This is the Live Your Edge podcast, episode 29. Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert, your host. Today, we will be talking with Alec Frail. Alec is the author of the book, The Millionaire's Apprentice, From Poverty to Prosperity. In our episode, we will talk about some of the habits that Alec has been able to pick up when following his mentor around the world for 18 months, learning from him and observing what it is that it takes to become successful. I'm really excited for this interview because there's a lot of tips that you would not hear anywhere else that goes deep into the habits of the successful. Join me in welcoming Alec Frail. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, we have Alec Frio with us today, and we are going to be talking about Alec's journey following a mentor, the millionaire mentor, for 30 months, traveling with him, working with him, learning from him, and some of his experiences and knowledge that he likes to share with us. Welcome to the show, Alec.
Gilbert, thank you for having me here. It's such an honor. Ready for 2019 to kick this year off and excited to share some valuable content with your audience today. And hopefully they can take some value from this and then apply it in their own life moving forward.
So Alec, how did you get here? Like, what was your journey like from youth to meeting your mentor and to where you are today?
Absolutely, Gilbert. When I was about 5 years old, I had this dream that I wanted to drive a Lamborghini. And I told my sister, I'm going to run away. She's like, well, what car are you going to be driving? It's my older sister. I said, I'm going to drive my Lamborghini. And I remember this as a kid. So I grew up in, I had five siblings, a sixth sibling who's an older stepbrother. I didn't see him too often. My mom, she's a single mother to this day, which things could change, but she still lives on welfare. So it was a poverty lifestyle for me many years growing up, and I always saw that lifestyle. I knew it wasn't what I wanted. Her sister, however, my mom's sister, she is a very successful woman. She owns a couple of her own businesses, has a beautiful home, 60-foot indoor swimming pool in her basement, just more of the lifestyle that I always wanted to live. So every weekend when I was a kid growing up, Sundays or whenever it could be, I'd want to go spend time with my cousins. I'd want to go over there. So I saw two different lifestyles early on at a young age, and I knew that I wanted to live the lifestyle that my aunt was living, not what my mom was living, and worrying about gas and how we're going to pay this bill and how we're going to, you know, do this, how we're going to get new clothes, blah, 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 blah. So this was a very different mindset, but also not just mindset. It was the habits. It was the daily situation and the daily activities that I noticed when I'd be with my aunt compared to when I'd be with my mother. So my dad, he was around as well. He lived a couple, maybe 10, 15 miles away. So I saw him every other weekend. He was a blue collar worker, works in a manufacturing plant, really trades the dollars for time, which is what most people do. And there's nothing against that, but it's just a difference in mindset as an entrepreneur. So love my dad, love my mom, both loving people, share a lot of love for me. So I never felt a lack of that. Always a great athlete. So a lot of my habits to this day come from sports. So for any listeners today who have been in athletics, I think this is something super important because it builds character and it builds posture and it really builds a great attitude. There's certain things we can control in life. And as an athlete, you learn how to control your attitude. If not, you're going to be kicked off the team. You'll be kicked out of games, suspended, etc. Communication is very important. This is something we can control on the basketball court, on the football field, or whatever we're doing within the team or business or organization. And then our effort. At the end of the day, you don't have to be the most talented, but if you show up and if you perform every single day, you want it, you will become a better athlete, a better performer, a better business professional, which ultimately the last thing we can control are our results. And so a lot of people don't understand the consciousness level of creation, that we actually create everything in our life. So as an athlete at a young age, I really reached elite levels in athletics. I became a junior Olympic gymnast, 2 years back-to-back national champion. And then I left gymnastics to play traditional sports. I was super time-consuming. I wanted to play football, basketball, run track. And so I went into traditional high school sports. That was phenomenal for me at that period of time. So starting at a young age, man, really just knew I wanted to become more, live more, and have more abundance in my lifestyle financially. Put myself through college at Michigan State University. At 20 years old, I came across a network marketing business and health and wellness. I always was an athlete, cared about health. So I started this business and I started building a team, eventually grew it to an international organization. I had over 10,000 distributors sharing these products, making sales, which ultimately led to me making more money. It's a beautiful concept. I ended up having about 15 individuals by the time I was 22 years old, 15 people under the age of 22 who were my friends and my partners in this business, driving new Mercedes, Benz, and BMW. So that was a quick success early on in my career. And then what happened was I went to separate directions. I went back into sales. I went into automobile sales. I sold foreign vehicles, a lot of Mercedes, Benz, BMWs, Mini Coopers. And this was a transition for me because I wanted to understand more of a retail type sale to sale, not just internet marketing sales and traditional network marketing style methods. So at that point, I was offered an opportunity to run a restaurant. So all of this, by the way, it came from building solid relationships. I actually listened to one of your podcasts recently about networking and how important that is. And if missing that gap in their life, relationship building is the building block of everything in the world. So all of this came through relationship. I ended up running a restaurant for just under a year, was going to franchise, which then led me to where I'm at today and moving forward today as well. So my uncle, he sent me a screenshot of this text message from this multimillionaire who wrote a Facebook post, and he said, "Millionaire seeks an apprentice, somebody who's worldly, fashion conscious, possess street skills and business skills, can take care of a classic car collection, is willing to relocate to Northern California, and has a six-figure plus first-year potential." So I didn't know this guy. My uncle did not know this guy. His name was Jeffrey Combs. He's the founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars. What I did was I actually reached out to him on Facebook. I said, "Here's the reasons why I believe I'm qualified for this." I just integrated what he was seeking and who I am. So I said, "I'm worldly, fashion conscious, possess street skills, business skills. I'm willing to relocate. You know, tell me more." So 6 days later, I lived in Michigan. I ended up moving. I dropped everything. I had a girlfriend at the time. I had 23, 24 years in Michigan, about 5-6 years on my own college of, you know, just TVs, couches, my own house, etc. I just left it all. I was renting a house. It wasn't my property. And I got up, I packed up my vehicle, a few suitcases, moved to California. 5-6 days later, started living out here. So now we're 2.5 years later, about 30 months later, I've traveled over 250,000 miles with this mentor of mine. What was so cool about it is what we understand, Gilbert, and I know you understand this, is we are energy. And so as energy and vibrations, our thoughts are as important as our physical actions. And a lot of time it's in synchronicity with our thoughts and our actions, but our actions also create thoughts and feelings. So feelings and thoughts create actions, actions create thoughts and feelings. It all happens all together. So with this being said, I would pray, I would use that frequency of thought and prayer to imagine a mentor, somebody who I could get paid great, I'd say good money to travel with and to learn from and to network and to explore adventure. And sure enough, I saw my uncle sees this Facebook post. So I would say this is a science of attraction, the law of attraction. This is all out there. We can learn about it. It's available to us. It's content right here in front of us now. And so I use this with faith, man. I would pray about it. I think about it. It's not like I think about it all day and sit in my room and meditate. Yes, I did that, but then I'd go about my day and keep producing and living in the world and reality and taking care of my own personal responsibilities, etc. So when it came, it was like, boom, I knew it. And when things are right, you feel it, you know it, it aligned. So I moved to California. I was able to travel around for, like I said, about 250,000 miles. We went back and forth on the East Coast, West Coast, down South, all over, really. So the mentorship, the skills, the habits, the details, the systems in place that I saw this individual running within his seminar company, I basically became his apprentice. And he actually called me the Millionaire Apprentice. So I ended up writing my first book, The Millionaire's Apprentice, which you can find on my website. We'll get to that later. But over that period of time, I shared some content of really my life story and then principles people could take away from it. And a lot of it comes down to your own personal situation. Again, you know, everyone's story is different. Everyone's in a different place in life. But to be able to continue taking steps and building upon the blocks that are already laid for you is where you begin today. And then you have a goal in mind, and the building blocks come together at the right time for you to continue elevating. So whatever it is you want to succeed with. And so there's a few different categories that I really look at in life: spiritually, physically, mentally, my personal relationships, business, and having a social life as well, being able to enjoy and find joy in life in general as well. So that's a little bit about, you know, the beginning to where I'm at today. I know that was an extended explanation, but I hope that tells a little bit of my story where I'm at today.
Love your sharing about where you started off when you were 5 years old, and you observed you had like relatives and your people close to you that were doing well, and you saw two different types of worlds. And then it went to sports and seeing a different world there, and then again switched again. So it seems like you made a lot of turns on your path. And while on this journey, what was sort of the differences that you noticed between those, the mindset, like you said, the haves and have-nots? How did that influence you to get into network marketing, you know, seek for a mentor? Because a lot of people are seeking mentors, but I feel like they don't have a compelling reason, enough of a compelling reason to do so, right? Some of them just say, okay, if I can find a mentor, that'll be just great. But what was the key difference that mentor had in taking your mindset, which was already developed up to that point, and taking it to the next level?
So there was a couple of questions in that question. The first question I would say regarding what's the difference I saw in the mindsets and the way they thought and some of the patterns. Number one, one of the largest ones I'd notice is the people who are result oriented, solution oriented. These are people who continue growing and moving forward and focusing on growth. Those who focus on problems, those who focus on the gossip and the drama, and I can't believe he or she did that, or why would this manager make this decision with this customer rather than doing this? This is a huge separation, is where the focus goes on a daily basis. So the consistent focus to progress and solve solutions is where I've originally noticed. The second thing would be the ability to commit and be decisive in their decisions. I would see people, it's like, I want it, but I don't want it. Maybe I'll wait until tomorrow. Maybe we should try this new method in the business or restaurant, or we can wait until tomorrow. This sounds like a good idea, but I'm not quite ready for it. I don't feel quite prepared for it. When the other individuals, the successful, more successful individuals, quote unquote, they decide. And when they decide, the commitment creates this centrifugal force of momentum where they start moving into the solution and the result that they're seeking. So those are a couple of things I noticed in the mindset. How this led me to network marketing was, again, I wanted to make money. At the time, I was at Michigan State studying human biology. I thought I wanted to become a doctor. I had no idea about business, did not grow up in a business family. So I'm like, oh, if I can make 100, 200 grand a year, this is going to be the most money that I could actually make. And when I had a friend, and he came from a more entrepreneurial family. His grandfather was a very successful entrepreneur. And he called me up one day like, hey, man, we could be driving a new Mercedes-Benz or BMW in a few months, and here's how we're going to do it. And this idea actually was an outside source that influenced me. I always knew I could do it, right? So it's like when you believe in yourself, and not everyone's there at this point right now. So this takes some time to develop, but I was blessed through sports and athletics to kind of know that it's like, hey, anything I really put effort into and I work towards, I can do well. So when this friend calls me up, I'm like, okay, like if it's possible and here's how to do it, I want to do it. Not just I want to do it, I'm going to do it. When I start saying that and speaking that I'm going to do it, other people are like, well, I want to know what you're doing. I want to know how you're going to do it. And they wanted a piece of that pie. So what led me into the network marketing industry and kind of those, that mindset is it kind of played a role into that commitment aspect. It's like, hey, I don't know exactly A, B, C, D, E, and the formula to get there. I have the general idea of how to do it, but it was just more of, I'm going to do it. And then after that point, it's like the right people started showing up, the right places I started appearing in, the right situations started occurring all around me where it aligned for me. So that led into the success and also my steps into that industry. And then you also asked me about my mentor and some of his daily habits, I believe was the last question you had asked.
Yeah. So what was the mindset that you noticed from him that was different or like a step up above what you were already operating at when you first met with him and started to follow him?
Definitely. Well, everyone has a story. And so this individual, Jeffrey Combs, who I mentored with, he's 31 years clean and sober from alcohol, drugs, and substances. So this is different than what most people understand and can relate to. So his sobriety is number one that really stood out to me about him. Number two is when I actually moved out to California and I started working with him. I never lived with him. We would stay in separate hotel rooms when we travel every weekend. When I first moved to California, he put me in a commercial property. However, I was with him 70, 80 hours a week. I mean, 12, 13 hour days, sometimes all night traveling, flying on red eye flights, etc. So what I notice is his work ethic is most people can't sit down at their desk and finish a task. Most people, and I understand, and you can understand as well, Gilbert, that there's so many distractions going on, and this is the world we live in, social medias and Instagram. I've got to check this, who's commented on this, who's liking this, or what's going on in the news today, what's happening in Hollywood tomorrow. There's a lot of distractions going on. So what I noticed was his discipline. It was his daily discipline and the daily habits that compound. So he knew what he wanted and he knew what he had to get done that day, and he would sit down and get it done. And most people, again, they're for the short-term satisfaction. Oh, I can go to this sporting event and have fun. Oh, I can go have this beer with some friends and go out and have a drink. I can go out to this concert. I get it. I understand there's joy that comes from it. But most people live so much for the short-term satisfaction that they never can really break through to the long-term gains, because there's sacrifice that is required to attract what you want to attract. You can't always have exactly what you want right now. Sometimes there's patience that comes with it. So I would say what I saw in him.
Sorry, I'm just going to you mind if I interrupt on Dot? So what did you have to sacrifice when you started following Jeffrey? What was it that you had to give up?
Great question. I sacrificed relationships. My girlfriend at the time, she wasn't happy with what I was doing. She's an ex-girlfriend now. I loved her, but I wanted to understand the skills, habits, mindset, and I was willing to do whatever it takes. Over time, she ended up leaving me because I work so much. And, you know, it is what it is. I love the girl to this day. I hope the best for her. But I sacrificed relationships. I saw my family, mom, dad, siblings once in 2.5 years up until 2 weeks ago when I flew back for the second time in 2.5 years. So being able to just create total separation and complete space for me to focus on what I want to focus on. So sacrifice relationships, time with friends. I sacrifice the fun and the play and the joy and the parties and the concerts and the get-togethers and the movies and the video games. This was all set aside. And these are things most people can't do because they aren't willing to do it because they find joy in it. I find joy in playing my PlayStation 4. Don't get me wrong, but for a few years, I had to set it aside. And so these are a few of the small sacrifices. Sleep. I believe that everyone requires a good amount of rest. I think our bodies function on a higher level when we are fully regenerated from a night of sleep, but I lost a lot of hours of sleep. With travel and red eye flights, I was pushing myself to limits that most people don't push themselves to on a daily basis. And these are other sacrifices. When somebody's sleeping, I'm waking up 30 minutes before them, 45 minutes before them, putting in those extra efforts. And so these were a few of the minor sacrifices that I made.
What were you doing in those hours? You mentioned the waking up earlier. What were you doing that other people weren't doing?
Right. So when you wake up, you have a couple options. Again, you create your own energy. So to feel good now, I would raise my level of energy. And what that would involve is exercise, reading, audios. It could be own personal space and time for myself, quiet space. But these are things, if I'm doing this 15, 30, 45 minutes ahead of other people, that's what creates the difference. I saw a video the other day, actually, a friend of mine, he was in Philadelphia, and he's like, here is me getting to the parking space 15 minutes before. So at 5:45 a.m., I'm here, and there's all these parking spaces available. He said, if I get here at 6 a.m., he said, I have to walk 3 blocks just to find a parking spot. And he said, that's the difference of 15 minutes. So it was the little things like that of, what did I do in the morning? Exercise, read, meditate. Those were the most simple things. Or when I was writing my book, it was those 15 to 20 extra minutes of writing. It was that extra time to send over emails back and forth between different partners and partnerships, and business associates, communication, just knocking out tasks ahead of time. That way it freed up time later in the day when other obligations came in, other moving objects happen, something random happens that I have to handle. I have more time to handle it. So these are a few of the situations.
So what does a typical day look like for you when you were traveling with your mentor? Let's say, what time does it start? What time does it end? Of course, there's no fixed time. So sometimes you're taking, like you said, red eye flights. So how does a day in the life look for you?
Right. That's a very good question. There was structure. There was definitely structure. So Thursdays we would travel. Friday we would work in the hotels. Friday night, go out and dine with clients. Saturday we would host an event. And then Saturday night we'd fly home. So that was very structured. But again, give or take, I mean, there's never just a set situation. Our planes, we had set planes. We weren't on a private jet and could leave whenever we wanted to.
Yeah.
But the days just, they look similar in terms of similar time to run to the bank, similar time picking up mail, similar time to clean the office, similar time to organize the taxes. And the biggest thing is doing everything you can now. That would be, in terms of time, it's like time is now. The past is the past, future is the future. Past creates fear and maybe some type of depression. If you could cut this out just for this one second. But really, Gilbert, basically all we have is now. So the past we can't change. The future creates anxiety by thinking about it. But in terms of time and our routine, anything we could get done now, we handle now. And this is a habit now. So anything that comes up, I'm finishing it as it comes up. Internet marketing and email. And then also with preparation, of course, we always want to prepare. We didn't just hop on this podcast and say, oh, let's just wing it. Let's just do it. I understand being in the flow, being in the moment, yes. But I did listen to your podcast beforehand. I researched who you were. I asked my buddy how he met you, Kyle Lake, down in Arizona. And I was curious. And that also builds relationships. That's what builds rapport. That's what builds understanding. That's how you connect with people. So in terms of my time and my structure, the biggest value I can tell you is get things done now when you can get it done now.
Just zero procrastination.
Zero procrastination. Yeah, because eventually you have to do it. And this was back in college. I'd, you know, have a dirty dish. And it was my own epiphany because I lived with probably 50 different people throughout my college years. And I'm like, why are they setting down this glass if they're going to have to take it to the sink later, wash it, or put it in the dishwasher? Like, just do it now. And so I started doing that. I started making my bed. I started cleaning up my dishes. I started doing my laundry when I required it. And those small personal tasks, brushing your teeth every morning, every night before bed, these small little things show more self-care and self-love. And that means in your business, and when you take it into further endeavors, it plays right into that as well. And it changes your life. You feel better, definitely. And stuff's, everything's more organized around you too. And with organization, yeah, I understand people are unorganized, but everything has its place. And you might not be able to find it, but I can find it. I get that, yes. But if there's a system to it, there's organization to it, it creates a peace of mind for you. And that peace of mind is space. It's energy, creation that you can then move forward with and use in your own creative energy.
So what is something that your millionaire mentor did that most people do not do?
Sobriety, but not just substance sobriety, emotional sobriety, because the reason why people feel certain ways, our body and our brain releases chemicals based off of events. So the way we feel is usually based off of a past event. Usually, sometimes new things happen and occur that you don't know how to feel. You're like, whoa, but your body still secretes chemicals. And these chemicals then create addictions and addiction tolerances. So what he did was emotional. What he excelled at was emotional sobriety. Because he's 31 years and clean and sober from substances, he's still human. He's still a human being. And that means still things could get under his skin. And you know, there's still situations that occur that it's like, you know, WTF, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my business? But really being able to stay in that stable emotional state, keeping your highs low and keeping your lows high, staying in that happy medium where you're more in the flow and in that middle of energy rather than having huge relapses. And of course, we're all human, so we might relapse, but the time period of the relapse, collapse that. Don't feel like shit for a day because something happens. Feel like shit for a few minutes. That's fine. You're human. Like, understand it, address it, and own it. And when you can do that and let it go, now you're moving forward. So that's one of the areas he really excelled at.
So what is the most challenging thing for you to say stay sober from something that you don't do? We mentioned a lot about the sacrifices, but let's say present day, what is something that you still have a sort of a struggle with refraining from not doing? Because a lot of time people ask, what should you do? Very less often than not, we don't talk too much about things right to not do.
That's such a good question. And at first I'm thinking, it's like, what do I relapse often in? And the biggest thing, Gilbert, for me is my codependence, me wanting to take care of other people, me wanting to over-obligate myself and be the leader and be the one who manages everything and takes control of everything and runs everything and does it the best. My own codependence and not being able to allow other people to figure it out for themselves. Right. Rather than jumping in and handling situations faster. And what this leads to is me then, when I'm over obligated and doing too much for others, yes, it's coming out of good and good heart, but then I get pissed off. I'm like, why aren't they doing it for themselves? And this creates its own frustration. Now, again, these are a few minutes. I am human, so it is, you know, I do relapse in that situation, but I'm also becoming more conscious, more aware of these boundaries that I can set. And so through the process, it's all a process. It's all learning. It's all experience. And so that's the biggest thing for me is rather than over obligating and then resenting why I made that commitment. Why did I say I would do that if I really didn't want to do that? Well, it's because I'm a nice person. It's because they needed a hand. They required some assistance. Yeah, I get it. I understand that. But I shouldn't be feeling bad because I accepted that and then committed to it. And now I'm doing it. So being able to say no, this is really big. Is yes. Yes, man is great. Creates a lot of opportunity experiences, but being able to set boundaries and say no to people, to events, to situations, this is super important. So I'm working on this is not being so much of a yes man, but being able to say no, because I can't do it. I don't have the time. I'm not interested in that, which then ultimately would lead me to feeling happier and feeling better.
So learning to say no and owning it and not feeling bad about it when you do that.
Right, exactly. Because a lot of times we're guilted into do things within friends or family. It's like, oh, you know, remember when I did this for you? Like, can you do this for me? Like, yo, like, you know, that was 5 years ago. What do you mean? Like, it's like, no, I can't, I'm not willing to commit to that. And again, it's not black and white. We're entrepreneurs. We understand it's not just black and white in most situations. It's a gray world. There's always different contexts, and, you know, involved in our choices and decision-making process. Mm-hmm.
So we can see that a mentor has played a huge role in your life. So how can somebody listen to this episode today and they're looking for a mentor and they have a good reason to look for one?
Right.
Where are some of the mediums in which they can engage with a potential mentor and maybe not have a formal affiliation with a mentor, mentee? Maybe it's even just meeting with them once a quarter, once a year. Like I have some mentors where I see them once a year. We have a 2-hour tea and we talk about everything we need to talk about. And at the end of it, I see them next year.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I believe that everyone should have clarity on what they want in life. And if they don't now, it's fine. I mean, we all go through different turning phases. But number one, you can't have a mentor if you don't know what you're seeking. So, you know, as simple as LeBron James, does he have a mentor? Yes. Is he one of the greatest basketball players ever to live? Yes. So who can really train the greatest basketball player of all time? Well, it's the fundamentals. It's the basics. And so even LeBron James has a mentor. So if you're seeking a mentor, gain clarity and understanding on what you're really wanting. And nowadays, Gilbert, you and I could probably both agree, it's all available. It's a few clicks of a button on Google, podcasts, YouTube, books, Audible. A lot of it's there. And so when you gain clarity on what you want, then you can narrow in who's really excelling in that niche. And then you can reach out to people. You can look up content. You can research and do a lot of your own development, but also having those physical mentors, even if it's once a year, once a quarter, this is really valuable. And this is something that everybody should seek. It's almost like relationships. If you're in a relationship, I mean, we're two different human beings. So if you're, you know, dating a woman or a woman dating a man or whatever the situation is, you both have two different feelings and ways of thinking. So to be able to come together every quarter, reevaluate your relationship, where you're at with everything, I think is super important. So not just for our business, but your own personal relationships as well. And even within your own organizations as a business owner, this is why there are weekly, at least once a week or once a month meetings with all the C-level positions or the management level positions. So individuals can communicate on what's actually going on and then what they're trying to break through on or what they're trying to solve and how they're trying to grow. So I hope that answers your question for the listeners today.
It does. But would you make a distinction between a mentor who you see them, you know, you see them once in a while, or you listen to their podcast, you read their books, you follow them on YouTube, etc. And actually following one as in being the observer, going behind the scenes, being able to see what goes on in their life other than what you see outside in the, you know, in the media and so forth. I imagine you were able to like tail someone like, say you're in tech and you're in the aviation or base industry, and you're tailing someone like Elon Musk, right? Now, would you say that is a huge difference in doing that and maybe just asking a question at a forum where he just answers it?
I would say yes, of course. I mean, the level of conscious and understanding is how close you can become to the content and the source of the energy. So I would definitely say that if you can find somebody who has clearly defined purpose and is clearly doing what you want to achieve, the closer you can follow, the closer you can observe their daily habits, mindset, routines, etc., then the better off you're going to be. I also believe that our willingness to learn continues to grow. And as soon as your willingness to learn stops, that's where we start decaying, we start dying in life. So really having that willingness to learn, not just from that one ideal person. Yeah, one ideal person would be wonderful. But do you think LeBron James only studied Michael Jordan? Do you think he only watched a few of, yes, he probably did, but also his willingness to continue to learn is what's going to continue excelling him forward to this day. And so really being a student for a lifetime, and then number two, believing in yourself. Because at the end of the day, you can follow people, you can get closest to the source of energy, but you're a different person and you have a different purpose. And this is what's so important, to believe in yourself and then to eventually take your own actions and apply the knowledge. I believe it was Dale Carnegie in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I believe, I've read quite a few books, but it's not the knowledge that's powerful, it's the application. And until it's applied, it really doesn't mean anything. So I would say find that mentor, get close to the source. Yes, that's different than a board meeting or a situation like that. But then eventually the application of this is where it's going to be valuable and play a role in your life.
Awesome. In conclusion of the episode today, if there is one thing you'd like to leave the audience with, if anything else, just one thing pertaining to mentors, and have, like, let's say they found the mentor, they're approaching the mentor, how do you let them know? How, actually, the question is, how do you let the mentor know that you are committed to learning from them, rather than, because they probably get, like, you know, I don't know, 10, 20, right, 100 requests on, you know, a regular basis, and they can't choose everyone. So how do you show that you're committed?
Actions show you're committed. Commitment is commitment in itself. So it's like when you're there, you're there. So being consistent is commitment. Persistent is commitment. Showing the actions, that's commitment. Letting them know, that's commitment. Communicating to them, hey, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, that's commitment. Showing that sacrifice, I'm willing to do X, Y, and Z, let go of X, Y, and Z so I can achieve X, Y, and Z with you. These would definitely be the ways to go about it. So really letting the mentor know, like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to learn. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to lose sleep. I'm willing to wake up the extra hours. I'm willing to sacrifice relationships. I'm willing to let go of bad habits. I'm willing to let go of the small things that I find joy in today.
Thank you for sharing, Alec. If people would like to follow you on social media, learn more about your story, your business, where can they find you?
Absolutely, Gilbert. And thank you for hosting me today. You can find me at Alec, A-L-E-C, Friel, F-R-I-E-L, on my Facebook. I have a fan page as well. And then you can also follow me on Instagram. It's Father, F-A-T-H-E-R, _ Friel, F-R-I-E-L. And if you're interested in purchasing my first book, I'm in the process of starting another book. You can go to Friel, F-R-I-E-L, Fortunes, FORTUNES.com. That is my website. You can also find my book. It's available on Amazon as well. And thank you so much, Gilbert, for hosting the show today. It's an honor to be here, and I'm looking forward to connecting and collaborating more with you in the near future.
It's awesome to have you on the show, Alec. And there you have it, Alec Frio. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.